Before we start, I just wanted to mention what this page is all about. We have some extra copies if anyone needs them. I wrote out, mostly for myself, because I don't know how many chavrusas here are preparing for this year, but for myself at least, it's a sort of like an outline of what I want to cover. And we'll see how it goes. Now, one by way of introduction, you may have noticed that if you saw the page, that we're not going necessarily to say there. You'll see that we jump around. We're going to start with the Mishnah at the beginning of the Masechta. We're going to fast forward to Daf Hey. We're going to go back to Daf Beis. We're going to fast forward again to Daf Vav Amid Beis. My goal here is to sort of, shall we say, integrate them into a whole as far as the topic is concerned. And then my challenge becomes, a daily topic, meaning every day to find a different topic. How long, Don, you asked me more than once, I think, how long this is going to go on. In other words, at what point do I want to shift to Pesachim? So one thing I'll tell you up front, we're not going to go for the next 3 months till Purim. If anyone's disappointed about that, I apologize, but I didn't mean to create anticipations here. I don't have a Havavina that we have enough to talk about in terms of Purim that will last us till Purim, especially this year when Purim is a month later. Again, that's part of the discussion of today's Shia, whether Purim is really a month later or not, but let's assume Purim is a month later. So that means, where are we holding now? We're not even in the middle of Teves, correct? So we have Teves, Shvat, and half of Adar. It's close to 2.5 months. I don't think we're going to be learning this for 2.5 months. And beyond which, that only leaves us a minimum amount of time to get into some big, big sugyas about Pesach. Again, any guess I would take as to how long it would take me until I finally say Genug. I see some people say Genug on Chanukah already a few weeks ago. They gave up and they don't. I guess you were sick of Chanukah or whatever. No, it wasn't that. I get the feeling that a few people stopped showing up my Chanukah shiur because maybe Genug shine. I've heard so much about Chanukah. That's all I can take. Okay. So anyway, I don't want to push this too long. Again, if I had to guess, maybe a month. I don't know. Maybe less than a month. That's my guess. But again, any guess is just a pure guess. So let's begin with the Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta Megillah. And as I said, we're going to be jumping from the Mishnah. As a general rule, I would say it's good to bring a Rambam to Shia, Hilchos Megillah, if you can. Now, the subject of this first Mishnah in Masechta Megillah is what we call Zmanim of Megillah. And it's very interesting that, and I've never seen this in any other mitzvah, that there are just so many alternatives and so many possibilities for the Zman of Mikra Megillah. Now, here we're in Yerushalayim, so if I asked you when is the time for Mikra Megillah, you'd probably say Tesvav on the 15th, correct? That itself is complicated. It depends where you are in Yerushalayim. And there are those who think that you have to be really close to the old city of Yerushalayim in order to be included in the halacha of Krachim. But again, that has to do with another sugya called Samach V'Nira, which is not for us. But if I was talking to a group in Tel Aviv and I asked them when is the Zman for Megillah, they would say the 14th. And that's true for pretty much 99% of the world. There are a couple of issues in certain cities. We're not sure whether they should read the Megillah on the 15th or on the 14th, but by and large, the day for Kriyas HaMegillah and the day of Purim is on the 14th. So if I would have set up the following distinction, that the 14th is appropriate for most of the world, but for a certain segment of the population, very limited segment, and that's called Krachim, the day of Purim and the time for Megillah is the 15th. That itself is a chiddush, the fact that there are two different zmanim. But the Mishnah says that life gets even more complicated. There are many other zmanim. And here we introduce what's called the kfarim, the small villages. And the Mishnah is going to establish, and this, we have to see exactly how, historically, how early in history this takana came about, that there's another 3 days of Mikra Megillah. That's Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th. And that's for the benefit of the Bnei HaKfarim. Now, obviously, you want to choose one of those 3 days. So why is the Mishnah giving me 3 options? And the answer is a concept called the Yom HaKnisa. The Yom HaKnisa means that there were 2 days out of every week, and this is for 52, the whole year, which are called Yom HaKnisa. These are the 2 days in which the villagers used to come into the big cities. And that is on Mondays and Thursdays. Again, we're not ready to discuss why those 2 days were the days in which they came in, whether it has to do with market and selling their goods, whether it has to do with Bezdin being Kavua, that there was a court system, whatever it is, right now we'll accept it as axiomatic, that these are the 2 days of the week in which the B'nai HaKfar would come into the cities, and we would organize for them on those days a Kriya Samagil to make it easier for them, that they wouldn't have to come in on the 14th if the 14th was not a Monday or a Thursday. So if, let's say, for example, the 14th of Adar fell on a Tuesday, instead of having them schlep in on Monday, which they're going to come in anyway because the Yom HaKnisa, have them come in a second time L'Macharat on a Tuesday, we're going to say to them that we're going to read the Megillah on their behalf on Monday. And that's called the Yom HaKnisa. The same thing would apply with Wednesday and Thursday. We'll read the Megillah for them on Wednesday if Purim falls out on Thursday. So in the language of the Mishnah, Megillah nikreis b'chadasar, b'shneimasar, b'shloshasar. These are the 3 days that we're adding on behalf of the Kfarim, and those are called the Yom HaKnisa. And then we get to the regular days of Purim, namely Arbasar, which is for the Prazim. The Prazim are the people who live in open cities. And B'chamishasar on the 15th for the sake of the Krachim who live in walled cities. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, Lo Pachos V'lo Yoser. In other words, you can't go back in time to the 10th of Adar. Nor can you go beyond the 15th. The 15th is the latest time for Kriyas HaMegillah. So at the end of the day, if I'm not mistaken, we have 5 days that potentially could be days of Kriyas HaMegillah. One of the points that we're going to get to today is a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is going to actually darshan a pasuk in Megillas Esther, and based on that drasha, the Yerushalmi is going to say that from the beginning of Adar up till the 15th, you could read the Megillah. So we'll try to make sense out of the Yerushalmi and the drasha of the Yerushalmi as we go along. Now the Mishnah takes it apart. You know, you've offered me 5 different candidate dates for Kriyas HaMegillah. When do we? Who will read on which of these dates? So the Krachim Amukafim Chomim Mos Yeshua Ben Nun, walled cities that date back, that the wall of the city dates back to the time of Yeshua Ben Nun, they will read Korim B'chamisha Sar, Kfarim Vayoras Gedolos. The villagers, assuming that the Yom HaKnisa coincides with the 14th, and together with the big city slickers, they'll read it on our bus on the 14th. Ella, but for the sake of the Kfarim, Makdimim Liyom HaKnisa, if there's some discrepancy, which in most cases there will be, between the 14th of Adar and Yom HaKnisa, then they will read the Megillah earlier on the last Thursday before the 14th, or the last Monday before the 14th, and that's called Yom HaKnisa. Okay, that's just the first part of the Mishnah. The rest of the Mishnah works out all the mathematics for the Yom HaKnisa in different scenarios when Purim falls on different days of the week. And that's not for us right now. What I'd like to learn with you today is a sugya on Daf Hei Amid Beis. So if you don't mind fast-forwarding to Daf Hei Amid Beis, we're going to count down from the top of the page. 1, 2, 3, 4, 8 lines down from the top of the page. Okay? Now, by way of introduction, what came before this is a long storytelling, you know, about Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. And basically what we find is that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi planted a tree on Purim. Well, that sounds like something more appropriate for Tu B'Shvat. So I can't tell you why he felt compelled to plant a tree on Purim, but what I will tell you is that he was making a public statement to the effect that Purim is not Asur B'Malacha. How did he make that very dramatic statement? By planting a tree. Apparently this drew, you know, this drew the attention of the public. And everybody saw that Rebbe is planting a tree on Purim. And the Gemara thinks that maybe, and this is based on what's called Tani de Rabbi Yosef, which we'll get to in just 5 seconds, that maybe Purim should be Asur b'malacha. Why would Purim be Asur b'malacha? So for that, we have to read a pasuk in Megillas Esther, in the 9th chapter. Most of Masechet Megillah, in terms of its relationship to the Megillah, is in the 9th chapter of the Megillah. And there, I'll read the whole pasuk to you, part of which the Brisa of Rabbi Yosef quotes, but most of it is left out. The pasuk says the following: Al kein ha-yehudim aprozim ha-yoshim bi-ori aprozos osim es yom arbas or l'chodesh ador simcha u'mishteh v'yomtov u'mishloach manos ish l'reyeu. So the three key words or phrases are simcha, mishteh, and yomtov. And this was the way the Jews in the open cities on the 14th of Adar would celebrate that day. They would commemorate it in three different ways: in Simcha, in Mishteh, and in Yontif. Now the Brisa of Rabbi Yosef is going to try to figure out what these three concepts are all about. Meaning, what constitutes Simcha, what constitutes Mishteh, what constitutes Yontif. It reminds me a little bit of what we discussed in the Brisa of my Chanukah. You know, V'achka kovu es hayom ma'elu v'yemei halel v'oda u'madlikim b'neiros. At least that's the Girsa of the Rambam. Right? So we have three elements in Chanukah. We have halel, hoda, and adlokas neiros. What are the three elements that make up Purim? It's simcha, mishteh, and yontah. How is it possible that Rebbe did a malacha on Purim itself, and moreover he did it publicly, you know, to teach the people that there is no Issur malacha on Purim? Vatani Rabbi Yosef, we have a brisa of Rabbi Yosef. And Rabbi Yosef, again, I'm not going to read the whole pasuk a second time, but on the end of the pasuk it says Simcha Mishneh V'Yontif. Simcha Melamei Chasurim Behesped. So if somebody dies and is buried on Purim, there's no Hesped. Mishteh Melamei Chasur B'Tainus. A person wants to fast on Purim, that's a no-no. Purim is a day of Mishteh. We don't allow. We have zero tolerance for a tainus. And it's really fascinating because this halacha, which is not for us now, makes Purim supersedes Yontif or Shabbos, because even though we don't fast on Shabbos and Yontif, but that's not an absolute rule. Does anybody remember which fast we do fast on Shabbos and Yontif? Tainus Chalom, correct. But the poskim write that with regard to Purim, the Mishteh obligation supersedes that of Shabbos and Yontif to the extent in which it prohibits tainis even for a tainis chalom. But now we get to the main point of our discussion: Yontif. Yontif means that it has the same, Purim has the same status as any Yontif, means it's endowed with Kedushas Hayom that generates an Issur Malacha. So basically the Gemara is asking, how could Rebbe possibly assume that you're allowed to do Malacha on Purim? So the Gemara says, you're right. There's no way that I can deny that Purim is Issur B'Malacha. But Rebbe Barar Besar Hava. Rebbe was demonstrating something else. He was demonstrating that just like there is manim for Kriyas HaMegillah, meaning it's relative. So if you're a prozi, you'll celebrate Purim on the 14th. If you're a ben krach, you'll celebrate Purim on the 15th. So too, the Issur Malacha is relative. And Rebbe bar ar besar hava. The status of Rebbe was ar besar, meaning his Purim was on the 14th. V'chinata, and on which day of Adar did he publicly plant a tree? B'chamesar, on the 15th nata. And basically he was demonstrating that although the 15th is Purim, but it's not Purim for me, don't tell me that I have to observe the 15th as Yontif with an Isur Malach, because my day of Purim is on the 14th. Now what ensues in the Gemara is an entire discussion about where Rebbe lived and what was the status of the city in which he lived. Did he really live in a city that observed Purim on the 14th? In fact, Rebbe lived in a city called Tveria. And the Gemara says that Tveria ostensibly could have, we don't know for sure, we'll see about that, but it could have been Mukefes Chomam Yisman Yoshua Ben Nun. In which case, you can't tell me that Rebbe planted a tree on the 15th, because Rebbe's day of Purim was when? On the 15th, insofar as he lived in the city of Tveria. Well, the Gemara offers, you know, another possibility that maybe he planted the tree on the 14th, not on the 15th, because he observed Purim on the 15th, or maybe Rebbe didn't, he wasn't exactly sure about what the status of Tveria was, and the Gemara comes to the conclusion that Rebbe, in fact, observed Purim on the 15th. But now we're fast-forwarding to the words V'chip Shitalei, which you'll see parallel to Tosas Divra Maskel Vaha, just one line below that. Just if everyone could indicate that they're on the same, you know, that I know we're all in the same place. V'chi pshitole. Okay? So now the Gemara is upset. V'chi pshitole? Is it really so simple that if you observe Purim on one particular day, that you're allowed to do Malach on the other day? So for example, in Rebbe's case, let's assume he observed Purim on the 15th, he was permitted to do Malach on the 14th. The same question would be vice versa. And here the Gemara says, Mishari, are you allowed to do Malacha on the other day? Meaning if you're a 14th on the 15th. And here the Gemara introduces Megillas Tainis. Now Megillas Tainis has a list of days in which a great Yeshua, a salvation took place in Klal Yisrael. A whole long list of dates. We're not so familiar with it because we have a principle called Batla Megillas Tainis, which has to be understood. That's a sugya in Rosh Hashanah. But when Megillas Tainis reigned supreme, it listed days which had to be observed as a yontif. And on the list, we find both the 14th of Adar and the 15th of Adar as well. Vaksiv the Megillas Tainis, es yom arbasar, meaning the 14th of Adar, ves yom chamishasar of that same month, yomei puria inun, these are days of Purim, the lola mispad bahon, that is no hesped on these 2 days. Now again, Rebbe planted a tree, so the issue of Rebbe was really not hesped. It doesn't say that Rebbe delivered a eulogy on the 14th. It says he planted a tree on the 14th. Again, I'm not going into the question of Tveria and whether it's the 14th or 15th. What then is the Gemara's objection here from Megillas Tainis, which establishes that there's an Iser Hesped on these 2 days? Apparently, the Gemara is going back to the drasha of Tani Reb Yossi, and in the Brisa of Reb Yossi, it says Simcha Mishte and Yontif. And now the question is, are we going to apply the theory of relativity? Meaning, is it Simcha Mishta V'yontif for you, but not for me, because you live in Tel Aviv and I live in Yerushalayim, or vice versa? And the answer is, if we can pinpoint one of these three, whether it's Simcha Mishta V'yontif, and prove that that applies for everybody on both the 14th and the 15th, then we would assume that all three halachas apply on both the 14th and the 15th. Now let's take one of the three. If you remember, the Lashon Simcha, according to this Braisa, was Iser Hespin. And it says explicitly in Megillas Tainis that there's an Iser Hespin on both the 14th and the 15th. Now at this point in the sugya, the Gemara is assuming that Megillas Tainis is establishing these 2 days as Iser Hespin for everyone. Universally, no matter where you live, and whether or not Purim is for you on the 14th or the 15th. That's the Havamina of this Gemara. So now the Gemara, according to that Havamina, has a problem. How could Rebbe plant trees when the Pasuk V'yontif appears together with the word Simcha, defining the very essence of Purim? And now we're telling you that Simcha, which generates an Iser Hesped, applies according to Megillas Tanis both on what? 14. On the 14th and the 15th for everyone. So then by, you know, by process of the transmutation law, the same thing should apply to Yontif, meaning that Yontif likewise, with an Iser Malacha in this Brisa, should apply both to the 14th and the 15th. So as Rav Moshe, you're getting what's going on over here. At this point in the sugya, I walk away with the following, again, it's all a Havamina, but I walk away according to this Havamina with the following assumption, that number one, Purim is the day of Iser Malacha. Yeah, you want to tell me there's no Hesped on Purim, there's no Tainus on Purim, I can live with that, you know, I'm very familiar with that. Again, we'll see that they always bend the rules, they always find the cooler, for whatever reason. Okay, he was a Gadol B'Torah, this, that, and the other thing. I remember Moshe Feinstein's funeral was on Purim. Anyway, so that I can live with. But now you're telling me that Purim is Asur B'Malacha. Well, that's a Chiddush. I'll have to learn to live with that too. Again, it's only a Havamina, but... Now you're telling me that there are 2 days of Iser Malacha, both the 14th and the 15th, all based on Megillas Tainus. So how could Rebbe plant a tree, and I don't care one way or the other whether he planted it on the 14th or the 15th? So what we have here now is an equation between Simcha and Yontif in the Brisa of Rabbi Yosef, that just like we established that Yontif, namely the Iser Hesped, applies to both the 14th and the 15th for everyone, so too the din of Yontif, which generates an Iser Malach, should apply for everyone on both the 14th and the 15th. Hence, how could Rebbe plant a tree? The Omar Rava. So Rava now is quoted as an answer to this problem. We have to somehow get out of this labyrinth over here. And he says, Lo Nitzrecha El Lesar Eshel Zeh Bazeh V'Eshel Zeh Bazeh. That we have to reinterpret the Brisa in Megillas Tainus. It doesn't mean Es Yom Arbos or Ve Es Yom Chamishas or Yom Purim for everyone. No, it means that these are days of Purim for whoever you are or wherever you are. Meaning it's your day of Purim on the 14th, on the 14th. And your day of Purim on the 15th if you belong to the 15th. But don't go a step further and assume that it's Purim for everyone on both days, and that there are 2 days of Purim for everyone. Okay. Just 1 second. Kain im haya poshut Just 1 minute. Just give me 1 second. I'm sorry, I lost the flow of the Gemara. Let's see. Amar Rav, lo nitzricha ela lesar etchel zeba ze. V'etchel zeba ze. Oh, okay. So I think I misled you. Let me just backtrack a little bit. I'm sorry, I stopped Rava prematurely. Apologize. Rava is reinterpreting Megillas Tainus by setting up a distinction between Simcha and Yontif, namely between the Iser Hesped and the Iser Malach. And he's saying the following. Lo Nitzricha, what's the thrust of the Megillas Tainus? To tell you lesser etchel zeba zev etchel zeba zev. So I misinterpreted. I thought it was separating the two. That we'll get to in a minute as far as Yontif is concerned. But as far as Hesped is concerned, what we're saying is lesser etchel zeba zev, meaning the Bnei Akrochim are also a Hesped, even bazeh, even for the 14th. And then vetchel zeba zev, the Bnei Aprozim are enjoined from Hesped even as far as the 15th is concerned. Oh, Hani Mili, here's where the Gemara makes the separation. I jumped the gun, right? Hani Mili be Hesped uvetainis. When do we differentiate I'm sorry, when do we establish a universal two-day Purim for everyone? That's only as far as the Yisur Hesped V'Tainis is concerned. The Yisur Hesped derived from Simcha, and the Yisur Tainis derived from Mishteh. So those 2 days, the 14th and the 15th, as far as Simcha Mishteh says the Megillus Tainis, are universal. These are days of Purim for everybody. So Rabosai, are we going to allow for a Hesped in Yerushalayim on the 14th? Are we going to allow for a Hesped in Tel Aviv on the 15th? The answer is no. That's as far as Simcha Mishteh is concerned. Avo Melacha Yom Echad V'Sulo. In other words, as far as Yontif is concerned, the Megillus Tainis was not discussing that, because if you read carefully the Megillus Tainis, let's go back to the Gemara's question here. What does it say, Megillus Tainis? It says, Yom Arbasar Ves Yom Chamishasar Bo Yimei Puraya Inun Delo Mismid Behur. And Hesped and Tainis go together as one package deal. So it means that these both days, says the Megillus Tainis, are equally endowed with the status of Purim to generate an Easter Hesped with Tainis for everyone. But as far as Isur Malach is concerned, the Megillus Tainis never whispered a word about Isur Malach. And Rebbe was trying to teach us that even if you accept the Megillus Tainis, and there's an Isur Hesped V'Tainis on both days for everyone, but that's only as far as Simcha Mishteh is concerned, as far as the Isur Hesped V'Tainis. But as far as the Isur Malach is concerned, namely the status of the day as Yontif, even the Megillus Tainis would agree that it's relative, that the Bnei HaKrochim will be enjoined from Malacha on the 15th, and the Bnei HaArim on the 14th. Now, Rabosai, what I want to say is the following. If I were to draw a circle that has the title of which is Purim, so we have various offshoots, right? We have various sections of the circle, the pod. We have, for example, Megillas, right? Kriyas HaMegillah. Now, Kriyas HaMegillah clearly is going to be relative, so that you guys will read the Megillah on the 14th, you guys will read the Megillah on the 15th, depending upon where you are. Then we have Iser Hesped V'Tainis. Okay, that's going to be universal based on Megillus Tainis. These are 2 days of Purim, the 14th and the 15th, both of which have the status of Purim for everyone to generate an Isur Hesped V'Tainis. Then I want to add another section, and that is Seudas Purim. What would you say about that? That would be the same day as Kriyas HaMegillah. Let's assume. Again, we'll get into this heavy, but initially, at least my intuition would tell me that although Purim has the status of Purim to generate an Easter Hesped V'Tainis as far as everyone is concerned on both days of the 14th and the 15th, but Seudas Purim would be on Purim Mamish, if you follow what I mean. When is the Iker day of Purim? In order to celebrate Purim, that's relative. For the you guys on the 14th, for you guys on the 15th, the Prazim versus the Krachim, and there's no Chiv Seuda for me as a Yerushalmi, right, as a Shushanite on the 14th. There's no Chiv Seuda for a Tel Avivi on the 15th. Now, I can't prove that to you, although I think intuitively it's correct, but I think I have a diuk. Why do I have a diuk? Because if you look at Megillus Tainis that we just read, and the Megillus Tainis wants to establish 2 days that are Purim for everyone, what does it single out? Hesped and Tainis. It doesn't say anything about Seudas Purim. We're going to have whole sugyas later on in the Gemara about Seudas Purim, Adelo Yada, you know, you have to drink wine, and Seudas Purim at night, you're not Yotze, you're only Yotze during the day. I mean, they, Seudas Purim is a major wing in Purim. It's not to be shoved under the carpet. Why does the Megillus Tainis mention, why does it single out, if you will, Hesped V'Tainis, and not Seudas Purim? So what I'm suggesting is that Seudas Purim maybe belongs to Isur Malacha,
and to Kriyas HaMegillah, and the diuk in Megillas Tainis that the Gemara is offering here in the name of Rava is that Megillas Tainis is only referring to Hesped, the Isur Hesped and Tainis, but not to Isur Moloch. Right, that was Rava's diuk. Right, because it says Inun Yemei Purim, Yemei Purayinu, Dolo Mispid Behun, but it doesn't say anything about Isur Moloch. And that would imply that Isur Moloch is relative, 14, 15, 15, with a split down the middle. So I'm suggesting that that same diuk should logically apply as far as Sudas Purim is concerned. And you may wonder why I'm making a big deal about this, but I want to show you a Ramah that completely boggles my mind. And the Ramah is going to come up with a suggestion that we should be eating a Sudas Purim on both the 14th and the 15th, no matter where we are. But don't leave that out. But let's say you don't know that right now, because I don't want to confuse your mind. But what I'd like to do now is take out the Rambam and see if the Rambam gives us a little bit of an impression or an answer to this question: where does Sudas Purim fit in? We know that Purim is Purim for everyone on both days, as far as Hesped V'Tainis is concerned. But what about as far as the mitzvah of Sudas Purim? So let's open up the Rambam, which I have here on the desk. We'll start with the easy stuff in the Rambam, which is Perek Aleph Halacha Dalet. And the Rambam establishes the following: Eizu huzman kriyasa. When is the time for reading the Megillah? Zmanim harbe tiknu lehem chachamim. It's very interesting that the Rambam sort of summarized the theme. He gave a title, so to speak, to our opening Mishnah. Our Mishnah at the beginning goes right into, you know, Megillah Nikreis, you know, the Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, and so forth and so on. And then he takes it apart. Who reads it on which day? The Rambam sort of gives it a koteret, almost like a title. He says, Zmanim harbe tiknu lehem chachamim. The whole enterprise of Kriyas HaMegillah is an obligation which is a takones chachamim, midirei sofrim. And the Chachamim decided to spread their wings over many different days. So whereas other mitzvahs, you could always, you know, the answer to the question about Zmanim is one Zman. Everybody has one Zman. Again, you could talk about Chutzlaritz and Yotav Shein Shalgoli as different Zmanim. But even that, I would say, is one Zman. It's only a suffix. But anyway, with regard to Purim, there are many different Zmanim. Right, Shenemar, and the Rambam quotes a pasuk in Megillas Esther in order to prove that the Chacham established many different zmanim, and that pasuk says bizmanehem. Okay, well, Blin Eder, we'll get back to that pasuk later on. Bizmanehem. The elu heim zmane kriyasa. Kol medina shahaisa mukefes choma b'imos Yoshua b'imei Yoshua ben Nun. Bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz. If I can prove that a certain city, what city would I establish as mukefes choma at the time of Yoshua ben Nun in chutz la'aretz? Maybe Shushan. I don't know. We're not sure about that. Okay, we don't know exactly when they put up the wall around Shushan. But in any event, the Rambam says, Afal pisha ein lo achshav choma. It had a choma at the time of Yoshua when he came in to conquer the land. Now it doesn't have a choma. Korim b'chamisha sar ba'adar. They'll read the Megillah on the 15th. Medina zu, he had nikreis krach. Krach is like an urban city of significance, a metropolis. It has a wall around it, but the wall has to date back to the time of what? Yoshua ben Nun. Kol medina shelo haisa mukefes choma imos Yoshua ben Nun. Afal pishu mukefes choma ata with an ayin. Now it's mukefes choma. Korin biyudalit. Umedina kazuhi anikres ir. So the Rambam has krach and ir. Krach means that it was walled at the time Yoshua ben Nun, even though today it's not walled. And they will read on the 15th. Ir indicates that whether it's walled or not, it was not walled at the time Yoshua ben Nun. They will read on the 14th. The Rambam asks about Yoshua, about Shushan. That's halacha hey. That's not for us today. I'll just read it. Shushan Abirafel Pishlo Hoysam Ukefes Chom would be Mosi Yashua Benun. Yushalmi has a suffix about that, but the Rambam understood that the final maskona is that there was no Hekev Choma for Shushan. So paradoxically, Shushan should be reading according to our rules on what day of the week? What day of the month? On the 14th. He says, nevertheless, Korin Bechamisha Sar Shebo. Why Shebo Hayu Hanes? So Shushan has a special status because the entire miracle took place. Okay, now we fast forward to the main Rambam for today, and that is Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Gimel, and then Halacha Yud Dalet. Shnei Hayomim Ha'elu. After the Rambam is established that there are 2 days of Purim, one day on the 14th for the Arim, and the other day on the 15th for the Krachim, Shem Arbas or Chamish Asar, Asurim Behesped Ubetainis. Now, what question should I immediately ask the Rambam? Is it relative or is it absolute? Right? So far, if I didn't read the next line in the Rambam, I would not know. The Rambam says, Shnei Yomim Ha'elu Barba Asar V'Chamish Asar Asur V'Hesped V'Tainis. He's telling you that everyone is Asur V'Hesped V'Tainis, or Ma'akid Islay or Ma'akid Islay. That's relative. So Rambam doesn't leave it to our imagination. L'chol Adam V'chol Makom. And the Rambam is basically codifying our sugya on Daf Heyomid Beis based on the Megillus Tainis. That these 2 days, the 14th and 15th, are Purim for an Iser Hesped V'tainis, for everyone, L'chol Adam V'chol Makom. Bein L'bneh, the Rambam is still a pedagogue, he's not leaving you with any room to misunderstand him. Bein L'bneh HaKrochim, Shayu Osim V'chamish Sar Milvad, they will still be enjoyed from Hesped V'tainis on the 14th. Ubein L'bneh Ayoros Shein Osim Arbos Sar Milvad, they observe Purim only on what? On the 14th. Nevertheless, Shnei Hayomim Asurim Behesped Ubetainis. So far, so good. As far as Hesped Betainis is concerned, again, could the Rambam theoretically could have gone a step further, which he didn't do. What else could he have said is common to both the Ayoros and the Krochim on both Yudalit and Tesvav? Sudas Purim. He could have added Sudas Purim. He doesn't add Sudas Purim. He's only talking about Iser Hesped V'tainis. So the impression you get from the Rambam, because again, the Rambam doesn't allow us room for adding to what he says. You know, he gives you the final word, and he tells you there's an Iser Hesped V'tainis on these 2 days, no matter where you are. B'chol Makom, L'chol Ad, B'chol Makom. He doesn't mention a word about Sudas Purim, and therefore I would assume that according to the Rambam, Sudas Purim is relative and not absolute. Then the Rambam adds another chiddush here. Bi'adar Rishon u'bi'adar Sheni. Here for sure I have no doubt that the Rambam is not referring to Sudas Purim. There's no Sudas Purim in Adar Rishon. But the Rambam says as far as Iser Hesped V'Tainis is concerned, there's an Iser even in Adar Rishon on the 14th and the 15th. L'chol Adam v'chol Zman. So in other words, once the Chazal established that both days are Purim for an Iser Hesped V'tainis, for everyone no matter what, they transposed or they grafted that same din onto Adar Rishon. That's going to be a little bit later on today. Mitzvah Hashem will talk about that. But one thing is clear, the Rambam, when he upgrades both the 14th and the 15th, B'chol Makom, B'chol Adam, to the status of Purim, that's as far as the Iser Hesped V'tainis is concerned. I have no doubt that the Rambam would not advocate that a Tel Avivi would eat a Sudas Purim on the 15th, or that a Yerushalmi would eat a Sudas Purim on the 14th. That's out of the question. Again, you want to eat a Suda, eat a Suda, I don't care. Just make sure to invite me. But it's not a Sudas Purim. Because this universal halacha that there are 2 days of Purim only applies, says the Rambam, to Hesped V'tainis. He didn't go a step further. Let's read Halacha Yudalit. So again, Rabosai, we do have now what I call tzvei dinim, meaning the idea of mishter, of setting up a suda, a special mishter on Purim, is not to be identified with the Isra Hesped V'Tainus. And it's very possible that you could have an Isra Hesped V'Tainus without mishter. Yeah, you and I would have thought, well, you know, getting back to the drush of the Brisa of Yosef, you know, we darshan the Isra Hesped V'Tainus from the word Simcha Mishter. So the impression you would get is therefore that if Simcha applies to both days, as far as Isra Hesped and Tainus is concerned, then even Sudas Mishter should also apply to both days. But that's not so, says the Rambam. He's only limiting it to Isra Hesped V'Tainus. Hesped V'Tainus means that the day is not endowed with the status of Purim, except for an Isra Hesped V'Tainus. So many days that have an Isra Hesped V'Tainus, but that's not a yontif. You know, that's not real Purim. You want to know when to eat the Sudas Purim and the Mishnah and Simcha, that's on Purim itself. So you guys live there, you'll celebrate there on Purim, and these guys live here, they'll celebrate Purim there. Now we get to Halacha Yudal. Mitzvahs Yom Arbasar Libnei Kfarim Vayoros. Okay, this is a case again where the Yom HaKnisa overlaps with Yudalid, so that Bnei HaKfarim are reading the Megillah together with whom? With the city slickers on the same day, because it's Purim for everybody. The Yom Chamishasar Libnei Krochim. Here's where the Rambam has the theory of relativity, setting up a mechitza between the 14th and the 15th. The 14th is Purim for the Bnei Ha'orim, for the Prozim. We'll add the Kfarim in as well. And the 15th is Purim for the Krochim that live in the walled cities. Lios Yom Simcha U'Mishta. Here's where the Rambam introduces Simcha U'Mishta. But it's the 14th for them and the 15th for them. U'Mishloch Manos L'Reim U'Matanis L'Vyonim U'Mutar Basias Malacha. Because again, the Maskon of Rava, the Diyuk he had in the Megillas Tainus, was that as far as Hesped V'Tainus is concerned, both days were established as Purim for everybody. But as far as Issur Malach is concerned, it's relative, the 15th for them and the 14th for them. The Rambam is now adding Simchu Mishta.
The Rambam says it is Issur Malach. He didn't say it's
oh, in Royal Asos Malach. I mean that line?
Even for the Bnei Yudal, the Yudal. He's saying it's mutter b'asi brocha even then. So the diak of Rava that's relative, Rambam's not accepting that.
Correct. That you're right. That's going to be a sugya later on. That that although originally there was an Isur Malacha, but later on in history they rejected the Isur Malacha. So what I said to you before, that from the Megillas Tainus in the Habavit of the Gemara, we have two chidushim. Number one, that you're not allowed to do Malach on Purim, and moreover, you can't do Malach on Purim for 2 days. None of that is going to be true la halacha. But again, what I'm trying to emphasize here is take a look at Simcha Mishta. In Halacha Yud Gimel, the Rambam doesn't say a word about Simcha Mishta. Only when he gets to Halacha Yud Dalet, meaning in Halacha Yud Gimel, the Rambam wants to establish what is absolutely universal and common to both days for everybody, and he focuses attention on what? On Hesped V'Tainus, no mention of Simcha Mishta. Now the Rambam in Halacha Yudalit is focused on the difference between Yudalit and Tesvav. Mark and Isley write these guys for them and these guys, and he points out Yom Simcha Mishta, meaning Simcha Mishta belongs to a different category than Hesped V'Tainus. You know, we had it as a diuk in Halacha Yud Gimel, but now the Rambam is outspoken about it in Halacha Yudalit. So whereas in Halacha Yud Gimel, the Rambam is establishing the commonality to these 2 days, that they're both days of Purim for everyone. Here the Rambam is limiting himself to the Isra Hesped V'Tainus as a separate entity. But when you talk about the thrust of the day, when you read the Megillah, when is the mitzvah Mishloach Manos Matanos L'Avyonim, and most important for us, when is it a day of Simcha Mishta, that's relative. And that's Halacha Yudalit. So what I'm trying to point out to you is the Rambam is very meduyak, you know, as always, the Rambam is very meticulous. He's splitting here between Halacha Yud Gimel and Halacha Yud Daled in a very fundamental way. His first breakthrough in Halacha Yud Gimel was to tell us that there is a common observance of Purim for both days for everybody, but that's only as far as Iser Hesped V'Tainus is concerned. And now to complete the circle, the Rambam says that anything beyond Hesped V'Tainus, anything that goes into the absolute all-inclusive celebration of Purim, that's relative. That's mitzvahs hayom arba solubnei ayoros and yom chamisha solubnei akrochim. And here the Rambam explicitly mentions Simcha Mishta. Why? Because again, Halacha Yud Gimel is not applicable. Halacha Yud Gimel is a separate halacha in Hesped V'Tainus. The Rambam is telling you the following: don't identify Hesped V'Tainus with Simcha Mishta. And that would be a very easy mistake to make, because if you look at the pasuk, the way the Bryce and Rav Yosef dashes the pasuk, poof, forget the Adarav. It seems that Simcha Mishta is referring to Hesped V'Tainus, and the Rambam is coming lafuke, and the Rambam wants to tell you that no, that Simcha Mishta in the pasuk of the Bryce and Rav Yosef is referring to Iser Hesped V'Tainus and only to Hesped V'Tainus, meaning that those two Isurim of Hesped V'Tainus are common to the very essential, or shall I say, bare bones basic definition of Purim, and they apply for everybody. Those 2 days are both days of Purim for everybody, but that's only as far as Hesped V'Tainus is concerned. But Simcha Mishta, that's Yudalit for those who observe Purim on Yudalit, and on Tesvav for those who observe Purim on Tesvav. And now we open the Ramah. The Ramah is a kind of a fluke, so to speak. Meaning, the Ramah is going to confuse us. So we're looking now at the Ramah in Siman Tov Reish Tzadi Hei. Si'if Beis, if you want to make a note of it, if it helps you, in the classical Mishnah Berurah, it's on page 322. Says the Ramah, this is at the end of the third line from the top, going on to the fourth line from the top, V'chayov b'mishte v'simcha k'tzas b'shnei hayomim. Yudalid v'tesva. Now again, I'm not sure what he means by k'tzas. Maybe he means that we will not have adlo yoda. Maybe it means we won't have what's called mishloach monos, which we'll see later on as part of the sudas purim. But nevertheless, the basic requirement of mishta v'simcha is obligatory on shnei hayomim. And then to Buri says, V'chei Nagu. I'm not familiar with such a minhag. Does anybody have such a minhag? I'm sure somebody has such a minhag.
What does it mean?
That we're going to eat a Suda on the 15th and the 14th, both days. On both days. Again, listen to the language of the Ramah. Chayav b'mishta v'simcha b'shnei hayomim yudal tesva. Again, I'm de-emphasizing the word k'tzas. Maybe we'll come to grips with that. I assume that you don't have to go all out on both days. There's got to be some difference between the Sudas Purim on the first day and the second day, or the alternative days. But nevertheless, he says, Yudalid and Tesvah. Now, the sugi that we learned gives you the opposite impression, that the only equation of Yudalid Tesvah to make it universal for everyone as far as the Iser Hesped V'Tainus is concerned. We never went a step further as far as Simcha and Mishta. The Rambam is outspoken about this. Okay, the Ramah has a right to disagree with the Rambam if he likes to. But how can he disagree with the Sugya in Masechta Megillah? The Sugya in Masechta Megillah says Hesped V'Tainus. It doesn't say anything about Simcha and Mishta. Now what I'd like to learn with you now, In the same context, is a Gemara here on Daf Beis.
So we're actually rewinding to Daf Beis.
Beis, right?
Yeah, Beis Amid Beis. Just give me a minute here. And we're looking at the first of the wide lines. Yes? The first of the wide lines? So look at the last two words on that first of the wide lines. V'ema prozim b'arbesar. Right, the Gemara here at the beginning of Masechet Megillah is going through the various days for various populations of Kriyas HaMegillah. And the Gemara says the following: okay, you've proven to me that the prozim in the open cities will read the Megillah on the 14th. But you haven't proven to me what's the status of the Mukafin. Do they have to read on the 15th? I mean, the Megillah says that they accepted both the 14th and the 15th. And we know that the prozim have to read on the 14th. That was the day after the, you know, after the battle against the Amalekim. But who says that the krachim have to read on the 15th and only on the 15th? Perhaps mukafim ibo biar besar ibo bechavishasar. Maybe they have two options. They can either read the Megillah on the 14th or read the Megillah on the 15th. So the Gemara answers, Omar Kro, for this we have a pasuk. You may remember this pasuk because we saw the Rambam in Perek Aleph Milchus Megillah quoted this pasuk. And this pasuk again appears in the 9th chapter of Esther. And it says, L'kayim es yimei ha-purim ha-elu bizmanehem. Here's where I got confused before. If you remember, I mistakenly presented the interpretation of Rava in the Megillah's Tainus. I was actually confused because I was used to this Gemara, because the Gemara here says Bizmanehem is the theory of relativity, which means Zmano Shel Zeh Lo Zmano Shel Zeh. So Bizmanehem is going to teach us that there's no overlap. In other words, you cannot have a population that could read at the same time as another population. So you can't tell me that the Krachim, who have the option of reading on the 15th, would likewise have the option of reading on the 14th, because it says Bizmaneh. And Bizmaneh means the theory of relativity, Zmano Shel Zeh, Lo Zmano Shel Zeh. So now the Gemara asks the following kasha. The Ema Bitlesar, perhaps the Krochim could read on the 13th. Again, this is all based on the fact that the Gemara has already established that the 13th is a valid candidate for Kriyas HaMegillah. For example, the Bnei HaKfarim will sometimes read on the 13th. So maybe the Krochim will read together with the Kfarim on the 13th. And then I would still maintain my dedication to Bizmaneim, Zmano Shel Zeh, Loki Zmano Shel Zeh. But how do you know it's got to be on the 15th? And the Gemara answers Kishushan, that it doesn't make sense that the Krochim should have a different status than Shushan. And in the case of Shushan, they read the Megillah on the 15th. That's because in Shushan, that's when they rested from the Milchema, the war against Amalek. So it makes sense that if the Megillah gives a different day for Purim, for the Krachim, we should link them up with Shushan and have them read the Megillah on the 15th. So the Gemara says, Ashkechan Asiya Zechira Minolan. If you're talking about Asiya, Right, the pasuk says, "Hayehudim aprozim osim es yomar basar." Osim in the Gemara's language is interpreted in the Megillah's language, interpreted by the Gemara to mean simcha and mishte, yantif and shlof manos matos hevyonim, the whole nine yards. Is that has to take place on the 14th of Adar, because it says Hayehudim aprozim osim es yomar basar, but zechira mi nolan. What about Kriyas HaMegillah? How do we know that Kriyas HaMegillah has to take place in the unwalled cities on the 14th of Adar, Minolan? Because maybe the Torah is saying that HaYehudim HaProzim accepted upon themselves Osim Es Yom Arbasar for all the mitzvahs HaYom of Purim on the 14th, of Mishnah and Simcha, etc. But how do you know, as far as Zechira is concerned, remembering the miracle, meaning reading the Megillah, how do we know that is also tied in and it's anchored in the same day of the 14th. Amakra, the pasuk says, Vayomim ha'ele nizkarim v'nasim. This is also in Perek Tes, it's a little bit earlier. It says, Vayom ha'ele nizkarim v'nasim. And you have nizkarim v'nasim together, and that creates a hekesh. And that Hekish teaches me that whenever you have Zechira, that's when you should have Asiya. So again, the entire derivation of reading the Megillah on the 14th is based on a Hekish to Asiya. The prime mode of Asiya is Mishteh v'Simcha. And the Megillah says explicitly that they would commemorate and implement the Mishnah v'Simcha on the 14th. The Melee would read the Megillah on the 14th. We have a package deal that integrates both Asiya and Zechira, namely Seuda, which is Simcha and Mishnah, together with Zechira, which is reading of the Megillah. Now, if I apply that Hekesh to our discussion, would there be a Chiyuv Seuda of Mishteh v'Simcha on the 15th, if I observe Purim on the 14th, then what's the obvious answer? No, because we need a Hekesh, we need a unified entity called Zechira and Asiya. So if you're telling me that the Zechira of the Nes, meaning the reading of the Megillah, is on the 14th, that's exactly when the Asiya is going to take place. Again, we're not discussing the issue of Hespe Vitainis. As far as Hespe Vitainis is concerned, you can tell me that I'm going to read the Megillah on one day, but there's an Easter Hespe Vitainis on the other day by virtue of the Megillah's Tainis that established that we upgrade the status of Purim for 2 days vis-a-vis the Easter Hespe Vitainis. But if you're talking about Asiya, Asiya means Mishteh v'Simcha, that belongs to Zechira. On the day in which I read the Megillah. So just like you'll have to admit to me that we don't read the Megillah on 2 days, we don't have Simcha Mishnah on 2 days. So let's just summarize all the evidence against the Ramah, if you follow what I'm saying. The Ramah has this Pele v'chiddush that on both days of Purim, wherever we are, we should be observing Simcha Mishnah. And number one, that's against the Gemara Daf Hey, because the Gemara Daf Hey says that in Megillah's Tainis we only accept the equation of these 2 days as far as Hespeh V'Tainis is concerned, not as far as Issa Molochim for that matter, not as far as Mishnah V'Simcha. It's against what we saw here on Daf Beis Amid Beis, right, where the Gemara Daf Beis Amid Beis establishes that there's a hekesh between Zechira and Asiya, which means that on that day in which you fulfill your Zechira, that's going to be the same day that you fulfill your Asiya, which is Mishteh v'Simcha. So there's no Mishteh v'Simcha on any day that's not a day of Kriyas HaMegillah. And lastly, again, I'm not saying that the Ramah, you know, his arm is twisted on this, but the Ramah is outspoken about this. The Rambam says that as far as Simcha Mishnah is concerned, if you're on your Dalit, that's when you're obligated in Simcha Mishnah. If you're on Tesvav, that's when you're obligated in Simcha Mishta. So for the Ramah to dictate or mandate that we set up a Suda Chayav, again, I'll read the Ramah's language one more time. He says, Chayav b'mishta u'b'simcha on both Yidalad and Tesvav, that's a pill. V'chein nog. Now I want to study with you one other sugya, which I think is also relevant to this discussion, and that's the Andaf Vav Amid Beis. And this is the sugya of Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. Again, we have to take that sugya up as a separate topic, but it's relevant to our discussion as far as whether, you know, what is Purim, you know, what days are Purim. So if you look at the Mishnah on Daf Vav Amid Beis, the Mishnah says, this is the part of the Mishnah that interests us, Ein bein adar rishon l'adar sheni el kriyas hamagilu matonis levyonim. Now matonis levyonim is what I call a nachshleper. What I mean by nachshleper, it's always attached to kriyas hamagilu. That's based on a principle the Gemara establishes that Einayim shalan avyonim nesuas l'kriyas hamagilu. Okay, so I don't want you to get confused here and sidetracked with matonis levyonim. Matonis levyonim is always a package deal dragged along by kriyas hamagilu. But the Mishnah says that the fundamental difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni is as far as Kriyas HaMegillah is concerned. Now back in the day, how did they know whether or not it would be a Shana Muberes? They didn't have the calendar of Hil HaSheni. What did they have? They had Kiddush Al Pi Re'iyah. So in Kiddush Al Pi Re'iyah, they won't know for a while until Bezdin, this is the High Court of Israel, Bezdin HaGadol will decide to be Ba'avra the Shana. So they went ahead and they read Megillah on the 14th of Adar, which is exactly when you read the Megillah. But then Bezdin was Ba'avra the year, and now they created a second Adar. So the Mishnah says you're going to have to read the Megillah a second time. Why? Because as far as Megillah is concerned, it's always Adar Sheni and not Adar Rishon. The Gemara is going to later on quote Machlokas Tanoim on this point, and there are some Shitas that hold that Dafka on the first Adar you should be reading the Megillah, and that's, as I said before, sugya to itself. Will the real Adar please stand up? So we don't know when is the real Adar. Now, what I want to focus on is a line in the Gemara here called Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yossi. And, you know, you'll find it, how will you find it? Right, you see the wide lines at the bottom, it's smack in the middle of the wide lines. If you find the line that starts with Al-Gav, and you just move to the left, the Gemara says, V'Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi, Savar, Afilu Mikra Megillah, L'chatchila Berishon. So his shita is that Kriyas HaMegillah should be read on the first Adar. In other words, even in a case where we knew up front, because sometimes we could get privy to information that they were going to be Ma'abra the Shana, we would still advocate, according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, reading the Megillah on the first Adar and not on the second Adar. And that's based on an equation between this year's Adar and every year's Adar. In other words, every year's Adar comes right after the month of Shvat, and that's the month in which we read the Megillah. Again, it's much more profound than that, but that's Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi's Shita. So I want to show you a minog in Tosfos here. Tosfos Divrei Rashi Rabbi Eliezer. If you drop down about four lines in the skinny lines in Tosfos, you see where it says V'yeshed Nogim? Yes, maybe. Mm-hmm. How many people have it? V'yeshed Nogim. Okay, we have it. V'yeshed Nogim Lasos Yimei Mishte V'simcha B'arbasar U'b'chamishasar Shal Ador Harishon. Now, my assumption is, tell me if you agree with me, that if this minog advocates you may simcho mishta on Adar, on the 14th and the 15th of Adar Rishon, Kolshken, in a Shana Regila, when it's not a Shana Muberes, this Minog would advocate Simcha Umishte on both days of the 14th and the 15th. This could be the source for the Ramah. However, what I want to show you is that although initially Tosfos supports this minhag, eventually he rejects this minhag. He says the following. Okay, let me read it to you from. I'll read it to you with the Masifta's translation. It makes life a little bit easier for me. And he says the following. Yesh noagim lasos yivei mishta v'simcha. Be'ar basar u'bechamishasar shal adar rishon, and he says riyata de masnisa nami mashma ken, right? Because the Mishnah says that ein bein adar rishon l'adar sheni ella kriyas hamegillah, implying that the only difference between adar rishon and adar sheni is kriyas hamegillah. Is Midakam Rinan Ela Mikra Megillah Bilvad Umatonis Lavionim Michlal? We could derive from this that Le'inyan Mishtev Simcha Zeviz Eshavin, that both Ador Rishon and Ador Sheni have the same status. And what does that mean? That you're going to have a Simcha and a Mishta even on Ador Rishon. Now Tosis rejects it. V'lo nehira, it doesn't make sense. Damrina b'Gemara, we had the Gemara above, right? And the Gemara said, right? This is on Daf Hey. The Gemara says, "Hola inyan hespeid v'taynis zevezes shoven." So it means that we're equating the 14th and the 15th as far as Hespeid v'tainis is concerned. So it'll be an Easter Hespeid v'tainis on both the 14th and the 15th, even though I belong to the Purim of the 14th and you belong to the 15th. Michlal, this is the diak that I was trying to push for in my agenda. The simcha u'mishta leka, that although the Mishnah wants to establish that there will be a Kriyas HaMegillah and Adar Rishon, but not as far as Simcha Mishta. So let's just go over this. Tosis quotes a minog, and he sort of implies that this minog is an addendum or is generated by Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yossi. That Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yossi already includes Adar Rishon in what? In Kriyas HaMegillah. But let's go a step further and let's include Adar Rishon in what? In Simcha Mishta. And then he says, V'lo Nehira. Why? Because the Gemara says that to what extent do we impose both days, 14 and 15, on everyone, as far as Hespeid V'tainis is concerned. Michlal, it implies that that's not true with regard to Simcha Mishta. So it means that Simcha Mishta is, just one second, let me just read it one more time. I'm a little bit confused. Where does Tosfos see this word in the Gemara? Vishavin. Just one second. Is he quoting a Gemara here? Do I read a Gemara? Le'inyan hespeid v'tainis zevezes shavin. Did we see this Gemara? I don't know. Where is this? Now, help me out here. The Masifta doesn't tell you where it is. Maybe it's here on the Bava basis. I'm just curious where it says Le'inyan hespeid v'tainis zevezes shavin. I can tell you where the Gemara. What do you say? Where is that? I just wanted to see it inside. Osiel's Machakimos. Again, logically, I would say he's referring to Daf Hayam and Beis, but that lush in itself doesn't exist. Zevezesh Shovin. It's got to be here on Daf Vavamin Beis. I'm just curious to see why.
Why are we assuming that that one plus is in a quote and not a deep?
Ah, you want to say it's a diuk?
Right. He's drawing his own conclusion. Although it doesn't fit with all the mandyam and the gemara, each one of them picks a ada for the mishum. Right. None of them say it's a mol.
All right, I'm not sure. He says Veloni hiradam rinan b'gemara. I thought he was quoting a gemara. Again, maybe he's not quoting a gemara. Hola inyan hespe b'tayne zevezesh shog. Just give me a second.
Oh, I was in the line
of Tussle,
so maybe.
Yeah, do you see which line I'm reading?
Oh, I'm reading the Gemara.
It sounds like he's quoting Gemara, and I just right now, I lost that line. I don't know where that line is. Let me just give me a minute here. Again, if I don't find it, I don't want to spend too much time on that. But Alinian Hespeid Vitayin. Oh, here it is. I found it. I think I found it. So we're back on that Vavam and Beis. So scratch what I said to you before that he's referring to Hey Amin Beis. On the Vav Amin Beis, it says the following. Okay, let me just tell you where it is. You see where it says Masnisa in the Mishnah, if you just drop down approximately six lines, right, the first line, well, that's not going to help you, but the first line is Barishon, but the next line also says Barishon. The first Barishon, if that helps you. And you go across there, he says, he says, "Kol." Just one second. Kol mitzvos hanogos b'sheni, einon nogos b'rishon. But then it says, "V'shavin behesped of etaynis shasurim zevazeh." This is where Tosfos is going to make his deal. That both Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni,
positive mitzvos
Einogos, right? Then we're gonna shift all the positive mitzvos of Simcha Mishnah etc. to what? To Adar Sheni. This is not Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yossi, right?
Right.
Just give me one second here. Right? So again, the minhag that Tosis quotes that we're going to make a simcha and a mishnah out of Rishon, that doesn't stim. I mean, the Gemara is saying that what? That mitzvahs hanogos b'sheni ain't hanogos b'Rishon.
Well, that's what he says.
Yeah, no, I understand. I'm not that dumb, but what I'm just trying to say is that even before we get to the Diuk of Tosfos, which is in the very next few words in the Gemara, I already jumped to the following conclusion that Simcha Mishnah, so far as those are the, you know, those are the mitzvahs of Asiyas Hayom, as we said before, they apply only to Adar Sheni and not to Adar Rishon according to this Deya. Oh, and then he says, but you'll tell me, you know, to justify this minhag that we're going to have a hoopla on Adar Rishon as well as Adar Sheni, based on the fact that it says v'shavin, meaning that Adar Rishon, like Adar Sheni, has the same din. Oh, it says Tosfos, but that's only as far as what? As Hespe V'tainis is concerned. Asurim Zevazeh. So Rabosai, what comes out now from everything that we've discussed is that we can equate the 14th and the 15th of Adar as far as Hespe Vitainis in a double way, in a twofold way. Number one, on a regular Purim, which means that even if you live in Tel Aviv, there's no Hespe Vitainis on the 15th in Tel Aviv, and vice versa. And number two, as far as Adar Rishon is concerned, that there's no Hespe Vitainis neither on the 15th or the 14th of Adar Rishon. That's as far as we can get. So if we go back now to the Rambam that we started with, the Rambam is very miduyak, because the Rambam says that Shnei Yomim Elu Shem Arba Asar V'Chamisha Asar Asurim Behespe V'Tainis L'Chol Adam L'Chol Makom. Now, what does the Rambam mean? This is I'm asking you a a rhetorical question, because the answer is in the Rambam. I'm just dramatizing. Well, what does the Rambam mean when he says Shnei Yomim Elu Shem Arba Savachamisha Sar? Is he referring to Adar Sheni or even to Adar Rishon in an Iver Yor? You understand, the Rambam doesn't specify, but he clarifies it in the next line, because he says Shnei Yomim Elu Shem Arba Savachamisha Sar Sur Behesvit Haisel Chal Adar Bechal Bakom. Right, bein lebnei krochim, blah blah blah, bein lebnei ayoros, and then he says, "Ushnei ayom asur besim v'taydis by the rishon u by the shevi." And this is Tosfos. So, in other words, we can take Tosfos and let's start it this way. We can take the maskana of Tosfos after the lo nehira and the Rambam and put them into Miksha Achas, and we come out like this, that as far as Isur Hesmi Vitain is, you can equate the 14th and the 15th. Not only equate the 14th and the 15th in a regular year, but even in an Iver Yar. So that the Isur Hesmi Vitain will apply even on the 14th and the 15th of Adar Rishon. But not as far as Mishnah V'Simcha is concerned. The Rambam is explicit that as far as Mishnah V'Simcha is concerned, it depends on what day is Purim for you. If Purim for you is on the 14th of Adar Sheni, that's when you'll have Mishnah V'Simcha. If Purim for you is on the 15th, that's when you'll have Mishnah V'Simcha.
But that's strange, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel on the Gemara. Why do you have to say Shita Zahar?
Well, you're talking about Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, or you're talking about
both halachos.
Yeah, which Rav Gamliel?
This is what we just
read. Where it says Rishon. I'm sure that Rishon Yosei. Ain't no ghost. Ain't no
ghost. Right.
Is that what it says? Right. Ain't no ghost. Rishon.
Yeah.
So the Ramah, the Ramah that we saw is not, he's not talking about either Rishon, either Sheni. And again, there's another Ramah which we'll get to in just a minute. But the Ramah that we did so far in Tafresh Sadi Hey, he's talking on a regular year, and he wants to establish a chiyuv of Suda Mishta on both the 14th and the 15th. That's not really a fair quote then, because this quote is talking about cutting out Adar Rishon,
right. Okay?
But I'm just pointing out that Tosfos, in terms of Adar Rishon, quoting a minhag that even on Adar Rishon there should be Simchu Mishter, he's rejecting it because the Gemara says that it's only Shavin, we're only going to introduce Adar Rishon into the parasha as far as what? Hesped V'Tainis, but not as far as Simchu Mishter. And that's why Rabosai, the Ramah is a bigger Pella. If you turn another two pages, or three, I don't know how many pages, and let's take a look at the Ramah on page 326, that's Tafresh Sadi Zion, so we're fast forwarding by two Simonim, and the Ramah says, Yesh Omrim, on the third line in the Mechaber, he says, Yesh Omrim Shechayev Laharbos B'mishtev B'simcha B'yudalid Sheba Adar Rishon. So Lomi, you know, it's bad enough that the Ramah in Tafresh Tzadi Hei has established the chiyuv of Simcha Mishteh Ktzas on both the 14th and the 15th universally. Now to boot in Tafresh Tzadi Zion, he's quoting a Yesh Omrim that there's a chiyuv Sudan Mishteh of Simcha Mishteh on the 14th of Adar Rishon, which clearly the Gemara says it's Shavim only as far as Hesped V'Tainis is concerned, as Tosfos Medayik, but not as far as Simchu Mishteh. So there is no Simchu Mishteh on Adar Rishon. There will be an Isur Hesped V'Tainis on Adar Rishon, because as we said over and over again, the Isur Hesped V'Tainis is a separate entity, and it's not to be integrated with Simchu Mishteh. But for the Ramah to go a step further, in the name of the Yesh Omrim, and say we're obligated to have Mishteh V'Simcha, I don't know, here he even drops the word Ktzas, I don't know, that gets me nervous, on the 14th of Adar Rishon, that's preposterous.
Well, that's the Yesh Nahogim of Tosfos.
It could be that's the Havamin of Tosfos. Oh, so I looked in the Beis Yosef, because sometimes the Beis Yosef adds a few words, here in Tafresh Tzadi Zion, and it says the following. This is the tour. The tour says Yom Arbasar v'Chamishasar v'Adar Rishon Mutarim behesped v'taynis. Okay, we have to see where he gets that from. But in any event, we're willing to say that Adarishan Adarsheni might be shove him as far as the Iser Hesped v'taynis. But certainly, according to the tour, there's nothing to talk about as far as Simcha Mishta on Adarishan. I mean, that's upgrade. That's out of the question. I mean, he doesn't even have an Iser Hesped v'taynis on Adarishan. So if you look in the Beis Yosef, he quotes the Rosh. Give me a minute here. Wait a minute. So the Torah now quotes a second opinion, which is going to be the opinion of the Rosh. He says, "Ubesefer mitzvus kasav." Shasurim behesped v'tainis b'chol hashonim afal pishal koro Megillah. So in other words, they're not going to read the Megillah in a case where they anticipated Adar Sheni, or let's say according to our calendar, they will not read the Megillah on Adar Rishon, and nevertheless it's also behesped v'tainis. Then he says, Rabbeinu Peretzal V'tzorech laharvos bo b'se'udah be'arbasar. That is a din of ribui suda on the 14th of Adar Rishon. Sounds similar to what we saw in the Ramah. I mean, he says the following. This is the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef has three different levels. This is in the middle level, not the widest lines, but the wider lines. And he says, "Kosvu behagos vaymonios vahamardachai sheharam," which I think is the Maharam Rutenberg, if I'm not mistaken, "kosav kidire rosh," that there is such a thing as ribui mishte v'simcha on the 14th of Adar Rishon. Avloramam kosav stam shnei yomim asur behesvi v'tainis b'adar rishon b'adar sheni, but he mentions nothing about seuda and mishnah. So there are a number of different possibilities. So let's just go over some of the possibilities. One possibility is to suggest that the iser hesvi v'tainis applies only on adar rishon, not on adar sheni. The other possibility is to say that there's an iser hesvi v'tainis on both adar rishon and adar sheni. That's the Rambam's view and also the Rosh. And then he quotes a third view, and that has a view that even as far as Suda Mishnah is concerned, there should be a Suda Mishnah on Adar Rishon, as far as the 14th is concerned. Then he says, "Aval Chamisha Sar ain't Sarach Laharbos Bo Besuda." That's a pelt. I mean, if you're already going as far as to say that there is some sort of status of Purim to Adar Rishon, and therefore there's an Isra has to be Tainus, and moreover you want to add a Chiyuv Suuda Mishteh Kohen to Rebbeinu Peretz, so why not include that in the 15th as well? Because as far as Isra has to be Tainus, it includes both the 14th and the 15th. And now you're telling me that even Adar Rishon is included in the status of Purim, and that generates an Isra has to be Tainus on both the 14th and the 15th. And now you want to go make the leap of faith, the plunge, and include Suda Mishnah. Why do you limit it to the 14th, not to the 15th? That I don't understand. All right, that's what we have so far. Now, what I'd like to suggest here is the Ran. The Ran vacillates about the following question. We said that the Bnei Akfarim, the villagers, could possibly read as early as the 11th of Adar. 11, 12, 13, that's called the Yom HaKnisa. So the Rambam wants to ask, he vacillates on the following question. What about the night going into the Yom HaKnisa? What about Sunday night, going into that Monday on which they'll read the Megillah, or Wednesday night going into that Thursday on which they'll read the Megillah? Would there be a chiyuv of reading the Megillah even by night?
So you remember, Rabosai, that we said in the Rambam, back in Perek Aleph, Bilchus Megillah, that there's something called Zmanim Harbe Tiknu Lehem Chachamim. And the Rambam derives it from the Pasuk Ubizmanehem. Now, if we're talking about the entity of Kriyas HaMegillah as a separate entity, as a separate chiyuv, then I grant you that there are five different candidate dates for reading the Megillah. That the Bnei HaKfarim were given three additional candidate dates, Yud Alfi Beis Yud Gimel, for Kriyas HaMegillah. But can we go a step further? Can we suggest that it's not just that they're reading the Megillah on these days, Yud Alfi Beis and Yud Gimel, but moreover, those days are days of Purim. When the Pasuk says Bizmanehem, the Pasuk is indicating that there are different Zmanim. It's not just Chovas Megillah as a separate entity, but it's the Zman. So let's say, what I'm asking is the following. Let's say in this particular scenario, which the Mishnah works out in all the cases, I'm not going to go through. Let's say that the Kfarim are going to read the Megillah on the 13th. What does that mean, A or B? Does it mean that the 13th is a day in which Chazal bent over backwards on behalf of the Kfarim and allowed them to read the Megillah and fulfill their mitzvah Megillah? Or does it go even further than that? That Chazal said that for the Bnei HaKfarim, the Zman of Kriyas HaMegillah is on the 13th of Adar. And the impression I get from the Rambam is the latter impression, because, again, going back to Perek Aleph of Hilchos Megillah, the Rambam says, Ezu Zman Kriyasam, Zmanim Harbi Tiklem Chachom, Shenever Bizmaneyam, V'eluhem Zmaniya Kriya. And eventually, he lists the Bnei HaKfarim, that's in Halacha Vav, and he says that Tiknu Lehem, that they read the Megillah on the 13th, etc., etc. So it would seem that this Takon of the Kfarim is included in Zmanim Harbe, according to the Rambam. Now, why do I mention this? Because maybe that would shed a light on the Ran. The Ran vacillates back and forth about whether or not the Bnei HaKfarim should be reading the Megillah on the night going into the Yom HaKnisa. Well, it all depends. If we're setting up a separate Kriyas HaMegillah on the 13th, or the 12th or the 11th, then maybe that's only by day, because we know that the Iker Kriya is by day. In fact, we're going to have a whole sugya on this on Daf Dalet. Who actually, and when actually, was there an established takana to read a Megillah at night? Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi derives it from a pasuk, but it sounds like until Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi came along, they didn't even know about Kriyas HaMegillah by night. Nowhere in the Mishnah does the Mishnah codify the mitzvah of reading the Megillah at night. So the Iker Megillah is when? Is by day. In fact, Tosfos says on Daf Dalet that we recite Shechiyonu not only at night, but also by day, because that's Iker Kriya. So maybe when the Chazal bent over backwards to facilitate a Kriyas HaMegillah on behalf of the Bnei HaKfarim, they did so as far as the Iker Kriya is concerned, and by day, but not at night. But if we go with the other approach, the way we wanted to learn from the Rambam, that Zmanim Harbe, that there are five different candidates Zmanim for Mikra Megillah, it wasn't just that the Chachamim were establishing expand the scope of Kriyas HaMegillah, but they were establishing different Zmanim for Mikra Megillah. Now that sounds pretty wild, because you know, you read the Megillah and get the impression that Megillah, that the Zmanim are either the 14th or the 15th. But now that the Rambam quotes the pasuk Bizmanehem, and he derives from that pasuk that Zmanim Harbe Tiknu Lechem Chachamim, and he includes not only Yudalit and Tesva, but also Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, then maybe the concept of Yom HaKnisa is not just to facilitate a Maisa Kriyas HaMegillah and a Kiyum of that mitzvah as an independent entity, but the Zman of the Megillah. And if the Zman of the Megillah is, then the Zman of the Megillah includes not only the day, but also the night. So again, if it's a separate takana for Megillah and Achinami,
we could limit it possibly to the daytime Megillah, because that's the Ikra Megillah, that's what we're going to give you. And that's what we're going to facilitate that kiyum. But if we're talking about Zmanim, and we're setting up a Zman Megillah, the Rambam goes on to say that the Zman Megillah is both at night and in the day. In fact, the Rambam Shita seems to be that you don't make Shechiyot by day, because it's all part of one Zman. So there's one mitzvah over the course of the 24 hours of Purim that divides up into two Kriyos on the day. Where do we have a paradigm of two Kriyos on a day? Kriyashma, right? Kriyashma is two Kriyos in one day. Let's assume it's one mitzvah in Taryag. Again, you have to go into Sefer HaMitzvahs here. Right? It's one mitzvah with two Kriyos on one day. One at night and one during the day. Same thing applies to Kriyas HaMegillah. If we're talking about a Zman of Megillah, then the Rambam, for one, would assume the Zman of Megillah is once by night and the other time by day. So then we have to understand, what was the Takana on behalf of the Bnei HaKfarim? That's the Rav Sofek. If it was the Takana of Megillah, so read the Megillah in the Iker Kiyum. But if it was, it did in the Zman, then the Zman encompasses two Kriyos per day, one at night and one during the day. So, Belineta, we'll finish this up tomorrow. I think it's time. It's probably time for Mincha. I hear things are rustling over there. But I need another day for this, is to try to figure out why the Ramah, and for that matter, the Torah, the name of Rabbeinu Peretz, insists that there should be a Simcha and a Mishta even during Adar Rishon. You know, how does that fit in?
Does the Suda go along with the reading, or just keep it to the 14th?